And grant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send us, Lord, together with thy Father, who was without beginning, and then all the holy with the life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to the Holy Gospel.
Peace be unto all. According to St. John. Let us attend. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, Truly this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, No man ever spoke like this man. And the Pharisees answered them, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God Christ.
The joy of the feast be with you. A teaching is embedded, a doctrine is embedded in the very structure of Pascha, which we also call the season of the Pentecostarium. The structure of Pascha is also the structure of salvation. And so the liturgical structure of Pascha sets before us the nature of salvation and its content. Pascha is a season in the Orthodox Church of 8 Sundays. It begins with the Lord's Pascha and ends with Pentecost. Pentecost is, as it were, the renewal of our baptism. Our baptism, of course, is when our life in Christ began. In the baptismal font, we were raised, not in theory or in imagination, but in the concreteness of the baptismal waters of the font, from death to life. This is when we were saved, in the baptismal font. The last feast of Pascha, Pentecost, is the real commencement exercise of a real graduation. It's our graduation from the tomb. Our graduation from the tomb of Christ. Our graduation from the baptismal font. And that graduation, of course, is the beginning of our ascent in Christ to our Father in heaven. The feast of Christ's ascension, which we celebrated 10 days ago, was the leave-taking of the Lord's Pascha. But we are only today coming to the end of Pascha. How is it that we can come to the leave-taking of Pascha 10 days ago, but we're still in Pascha? Today is the 8th Sunday of Pascha, the 8th and final Sunday of Pascha. 8 itself is the number that symbolizes the resurrection. As it says in the liturgical texts, Pentecost is the fulfillment of the appointed time and promise of Pascha. Something has been fulfilled in Pentecost, and something is beginning. Pascha means a passing over. It refers, of course, historically to the Pascha of Israel, when she passed over the Red Sea from Egypt into the desert on the other side. Note that she was not in the Promised Land. She was in the desert, on the edge of the desert. And when she concluded her Pascha through the Red Sea, she was now ready, she was now free, to begin making her way through the desert to the Promised Land of her inheritance. Ascension is the completion of the Lord's Pascha, his passing over from death to life, and his sitting in glory at the Father's right hand above the heavens. You could say that the Lord's ascension is the completion of his baptism in the Jordan. Because you remember when he was baptized in the Jordan, the heavens opened. The voice of the Father was heard, and the Spirit was seen coming down in the form of a dove. The heavens were opened as though that was his destination from the waters of the Jordan. But where did he go? Where did he have to go to get there to the heavens? First he was led into the desert, and then he was led to the tomb on Golgotha. And that's how he got into the heavens. Why should our path be any different if we are following Christ? Note then that Christ's passing over from death to life and is sitting in glory at the right Father's right hand above the heavens is the conclusion of his Pascha. And as I said, we, however, are still in Pascha at Pentecost. What's going on? That means that our Pascha, our passage from earth to heaven, from death to life, is ready to begin. And it begins with Pentecost. It begins with our rising from the baptismal font, our Pentecost. Note then that Pascha, and if Pascha is giving to us the structure, the nature, and the content of salvation, then note that Pascha, or salvation, is not a state of being, it's a movement. Salvation, Pascha, is dynamic. It's a journey. It's an exodus. Not a physical exodus through a geographical desert, but a mystical or an inner exodus. A real journey of our inner man through the desert of our soul to enter the Lord's tomb. Now the Lord's tomb historically is in the heart of the Promised Land. But spiritually or mystically, and I would say in real terms, the Lord's tomb is in our own heart, the sanctuary of the temple of our body. We enter the Lord's tomb when we go with Peter and John, as St. John in his Gospel tells us in chapter 20. Remember, Peter and John go into the tomb of the risen Lord, and it's in the tomb that they see everything and they come to believe, and now they understand the scriptures and that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to die. And until then, they didn't get it. It was when they came into the tomb that they got it and understood that what the scriptures were saying was that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again. So we enter the Lord's tomb when we come, as it were, with Peter and John into the sanctuary of our heart in order to come into the mystery of the Lord's empty tomb. It's an empty tomb because there's no death in it. There's no corpse there. And when we come into the tomb of our heart, we come into the resurrection of Christ. And we are now ready in faith to begin following the Lord on our own Pascha, our own passing over from earth to heaven. And in our union with Christ, we are ready now to ascend the summit of Eden with him, to come to the top of the mountain of Eden, and to become, in our union with him, one with the Father. Our Pascha takes place. It moves wholly within the mystery of the church, the mystery of Christ's glorified body that was crucified, dead and buried, and is risen from the dead. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of the inner exodus of our soul. And he is its destination. As he says to the Israelites, Ezekiel the prophet, I am your inheritance. I am your promised land. He is our inheritance. He is our destination. He is our promised land. He is the path that leads through the Red Sea of our death. He is the path. He is the path that leads to the Red Sea of our death, the path that leads to the desert of our soul, into the tomb of our heart, made one in him with his new tomb, his life-creating tomb. And on that path, which is Christ himself, we are led into the tomb of our heart and out onto the other side in the garden of his resurrection and up the mountain to the summit of Eden, at the Father's right hand above the heavens. This inner exodus of Christ begins at our baptism, and we are renewing it on the feast. We are renewing our baptism here on the Feast of Pentecost. Our baptism is our recreation. Pentecost is a recreation. The baptism in the font is when the Lord creates in us a clean heart and puts in us a new and right spirit, his Holy Spirit. And there are in the hymns of Pentecost clear echoes of Eden, as well as of creation, and of Sinai, which is where the Israelites, on their exodus, received the law of God. There's this, for example, this verse. Coming down to those on earth, the Holy Spirit's spring was seen in the form of fiery streams, that takes us to Genesis chapter 2, where it describes the rivers of Eden coming down and watering, dividing into four rivers and dividing all of the Garden of Eden down below. So coming down to those on earth, the Holy Spirit's spring was seen in the form of fiery streams distributed spiritually to all, and thus the fire became a cloud bedewing them. Now we're thinking of Genesis chapter 2, when there was not yet anything on the earth, but there was a dew that was over the earth. We're also thinking of the cloud that led Israel through the desert on her exodus. So this fire became a cloud bedewing the disciples, filling them with light. Now we think of the beginning of creation. God said, let there be light. That was the created light, of course. The Holy Spirit is the uncreated light. And now in the light of the Holy Spirit, he is raining flames on them, it says. He is raining flames on them. And this takes us to Sinai, to Mount Sinai, when the Lord appears to the Israelites over the mountain in thunder and lightning and fire. So you see in this Feast of Pentecost, how it brings all of these things together. The creation, the Garden of Eden, the Exodus, the Promised Land. In the font, we descended with Christ, it says, in the likeness of his death, which means in intimacy with him, in intimacy with his death. And then we were raised with him from the font and clothed anew in the robe of light or in the glory of the Holy Spirit. Our heart, our true self that is deep beyond all things, was created anew. A new and right spirit, the Holy Spirit, was renewed in us. And we became, from the font, living souls. And now we go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Holy Spirit, God breathes into Adam, and Adam becomes a living soul. We become, in the font of the baptism, a living soul. And this is renewed for us in the joy of the Feast of Pentecost. At the baptism, we were led by the priest, an image of Christ, from the font to the chalice. So also, the Lord now calls us to follow him through obedience to his commandments onto the hidden path of the gospel's inner exodus. This is the better and changeless path, as it says in the Feast of Theophany, that was uncovered in the depths of the font. We are called to complete our resurrection in the font by ascending with Christ to God and to become one with God the Father by coming to the chalice and partaking of the divine nature as our food and drink in the Eucharistic mystery of Christ's body and blood. So as you can see, this liturgical season of Pascha, together with the liturgical structure of our baptism, sets before us the pattern of our salvation. Or rather, I believe it would be truer to say that in these liturgical movements, we are clothing ourselves with the garment of Christ's descent and ascent. Through these liturgical rites of the Church, the movement of Pascha is established, not in theory, not in religious imagination, but concretely in these liturgical rituals that encompass our body, our mind, and our soul. This movement of Pascha is now established as the new principle of our life. This, the mystery of Christ's descent into hell and his ascent to heaven, his death and resurrection and ascension in glory, this is what is now working in us. And to the degree that we give ourselves to this mystery of Christ's Pascha that is now working in us, to that degree and more, our life in this world becomes transfigured into an ascent into heaven from the tomb of our heart, now transfigured in the baptismal font into a bridal chamber, where we become one with Christ, who is risen from the dead and lives in us in the glory of his Holy Spirit. The life that we live in Christ, then, I should say the life that we live in this world, is no longer the biological life of this world, but rather it is the eternal life, or it should be the eternal life, of Christ's heavenly Spirit. This life of God, this life of Christ, that is the light of men, the joy of Christ in us, in communion with the Father, in communion with the most blessed Theotokos and all the saints. This is the life that is now living in us. And I suppose the question we want to ask ourselves is, am I living in it? Our dying in this world, then, and what is the life of this world but a dying every day, a drawing ever nearer to the grave? Our dying in this world is now transfigured into a secret closet, in which we put on, as a garment, the incorruptible and the immortal life of the glorified Christ. Our daily life becomes the garden in which our heart now works by the sweat of our ascetic labors to put to death what is earthly in us, namely, to pull out the thorns and the thistles that are produced from our egotism, our self-centeredness, our self-love. And our actual death is now transfigured into the actual death of our death, when our actual death is swallowed up in the actual victory of Christ's holy cross. This liturgical season of Pascha, then, sets before us where we are going, when in the fear of God with faith and love we draw near. It shows us how we get there. We are on an exodus through the desert of this life to heaven. We get there by uniting ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death. In other words, by denying ourselves for his sake. The gate of heaven is the tomb found in our own heart when we freely, in the fear of God, with faith and love, open our heart to receive the Christ who is risen from the dead. Every divine liturgy, then, is a Pentecost for us. For at every divine liturgy, we receive the Lord's heavenly Spirit as our living food and drink in the mystery of Holy Eucharist. And when we freely choose to live in the Spirit of the Lord, given us in the living bread and cup of the Church, then it is the ascension of Christ in glory that becomes the principle that gives shape and meaning to our life in this world. Uniting ourselves to Christ, as we swore we would do at our baptism, we live in the glory of his resurrection on the other side, precisely as we unite ourselves to him in the likeness of his death on this side. As we lose our life for his sake, as we unite ourselves to him in the likeness of his death, in that very instant, our resurrection begins. The illumining of our darkness begins in the joy and the love of the glory of Christ that the world cannot take away, because it is a joy that has conquered death by the death of Christ, and it is a joy that comes, that is the very energy, the very grace, the very uncreated grace of God, the Holy Trinity himself. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
The joy of the feast be with you.